Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburned, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
My daughter always had stomach pains since she was 3 years old. And throughout all this time, she was being prescribed medication after medication to see what was working, and nothing was working. And I told my husband, this is not right. I don't feel good about this. She's only 8 and she has all this medication. It's affecting her hormones. And I just don't feel good about it. I came across one of Kim Berry's videos. All I heard was that he said his wife Nisha had IBS and that the carnivore diet helped her. I didn't know too much about a carnivore diet. And so I was just like, huh, this is interesting. Oh my God, we don't have to stay sick. You can do this. I'm like, it doesn't have to be that way. It was never that way. So it's really sad, and I'm very passionate about it. And it just saddened my heart when I go to the grocery store. People are limping, they're in the wheelchairs, and it doesn't have to be that way.
I'm Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the Power of a Proper Human Diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, blessed to welcome Sandra to the channel. Welcome, Sandra. How you doing?
Thank you, Carrie, for having me. I'm doing really good, and I am happy to be chatting with you today.
I'm happy to be chatting with you also. I really appreciate you had me on your channel before to interview me, which I really appreciate. And I'll have a link in the description below for Sandra's channel so you can follow her. But I'm really interested in hearing your story and sharing your story with the audience, and hopefully maybe inspiring some other people to find some healing. What sort of health issues led you to a carnivore diet?
Well, I always had constipation since a teenager, and it was like, oh, it's kind of like normal. And I've always had painful periods since 11. And then I had knee pain before I was 35, which I thought it was abnormal. And then I also used to have chest pain. It's like a sharp chest pain that will come like, you know, once every 2 weeks. And I was really waiting till I was 40 to kind of report it to my doctor, just because I know it's like going to be medications and all these testing. So I'm like, oh, you know, I'll just wait a little bit. So I had those major issues that I just was, I'm just thinking, I don't know what is going on with me, but I know something is not right. But I thought it was aging. You know, I'm getting old, and that's the story. That's what we are always being told. So those are like the major things. And they're like little things, you know, brain fog, lack of energy, all those little things that we think is normal, right? And so I never thought those things were abnormal. So those were there, but never really focused on them. So.
And what sort of led you, how did you find out about carnivore?
Okay, so I found out about carnivore through Dr. Ken Berry. My daughter always had stomach pains since she was 3 years old. And so we always reported it because she was able to talk and tell, oh, my tummy at 3. And so we always reported it to the doctor, and they're like, oh, just record what she eats. But it was nothing really done about it. and it would come and go. And then when she was about 8 years old, it got worse. I mean, she was cramping down in the morning when we were going to school. She was late sometimes because she was in so much pain. So that's when we really started taking her to the hospital multiple times. They ran all the tests that were available, MRI, ultrasounds, all the, she had like about 4 or 5 labs drawn. We stayed away from all the allergen food, you know, nuts, dairy, what else? And we found out she was allergic to sesame seeds, which we didn't really consume that much. So she was just going through all these tests, and then they didn't know what to do. And then they took her to have an endoscopy, and they didn't find what it was. They said they didn't find anything. And so they were just giving her prescription. And throughout all this time, she was being prescribed medication after medication, like 3 sets of medication at a time to see what was working, and nothing was working. And in addition to the 3 medications, she had to take a stool softener because it would get her constipated. Nothing was working. And I told my husband, this is not right. I don't feel good about this. She's only 8 and she has all this medication. It's affecting her hormones. And I just don't feel good about it. And they don't know what it is. They think it's IBS, but they're not sure. Because she was little, they didn't want to kind of diagnose her with that yet. And so I was just like, I don't know what to do. I just know all these medications she was taking was not right. So then I came across one of Kim Berry's video.
Quick interruption. Beast Mode Soap sent me this soap, 100% beef tallow, free to try. This is certified grass-fed tallow, never vegan, made in the USA, natural essential oils. We got forest ash, paleo pine. We're in the pine forest. The forest ash is my favorite. I've been using it for a while now. They sent this to me for free, but I liked it so much I agreed to do a paid partnership with them because I believe people need to know what they're putting on their body. And the soap that I had at home is full of chemicals, detergents. Seriously, after I use this soap, my skin feels so soft and so incredible. What you put on your skin ends up in your bloodstream. And I only want to put good things in my body and on my body. And this, there couldn't be much better. This is 100% beef tallow.
Learn more at beastmoatsoap.com.
I forgot what he was talking about, but all I heard was that he said his wife Nisha had IBS and that the carnivore diet helped her. And she went on the carnivore diet and it went away. And I didn't know too much about him at that time. I didn't know too much about a carnivore diet. And so I was just like, huh, this is interesting. I had did keto. I was kind of on keto, low carb keto, which I felt a little better, but it wasn't, I was still not feeling my best. So I was like, oh, this carnivore, what is this? So I did more research about the carnivore diet. And then I was just like, okay, you know what? I'm going to try it first. And then if it works for me, then I'll let my daughter try it. Mm. And then I'll know how, you know, however the feeling is going to be. And I tried it and all my health symptoms, everything went away. I mean, at that time, I had my 4th born, and when I was going up the stairs, I literally had to step like 1 foot at a time, just because my right knee pain was so bad, and I couldn't walk up the stairs normally. And I think it was 2 weeks into it that I was just like, oh, I'm walking normally up the stairs. It didn't even hit me until like I was like, oh, I'm not taking 1 step at a time anymore. And so that changed everything for me. And then I think after 2, I wasn't expecting anything, honestly. I was just trying to see how it feels so I can let my daughter try it. So I didn't really have any expectation as to, you know, how I was going to feel. But everything just went away from me. Maybe all my major symptoms within a month went away. And then later on, more things happened to me. But I tried that for 1 month. And after 1 month, I let my daughter try it. And the first week, no complaint. No complaint at all. And I was just like, wow, this is so weird. So then I started to look into it more and more and listen to Dr. Anthony Chaffee, because I was her having enough vitamins. And because we're always told that you get your vitamins from, you know, vegetables. So I was worried about it. So I was really digging into it. Sean Baker, the major carnivore Dr. Kilt, all the major carnivore doctors. I was just doing some research, listening to them, and then doing research on my own about how food affect our bodies. So I was just like really getting into it, and then I got it because I was doing keto before, so I understood the physiology, but it was just like the idea of not having any vegetables at all. I was just like, huh, I thought we need it. So I dug into it, and I think Dr. Anthony Chaffee really helped me to understand that more, and how even affects your brain and everything. So that was kind of how I got into it, and I haven't been able to get off since then. I tried, like, I was just like, oh, you know, I was a little skeptical about it. I was just like, oh, maybe I can just add a little fiber here and there. And so every time I tried, I just wasn't feeling my best. So I just been on it almost 2 years now. And so that's how I came to it.
Wow. I love your story. It's particularly kind of touching because, I mean, there's nothing worse in the world than seeing our children suffering. And your story is very similar to mine in many ways, because I remember I'm a little over 2 years also. And I remember when I started, part of the reason, almost a little bit of an excuse for me, was also my daughter, Lily, who was having all sorts of health issues. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll just try this also and see if it works. And then I can kind of recommend it to her, which is what happened with you. So what's the story with your daughter now? How is she doing now? And what sort of changes did she notice?
Yeah, so she has a lot of energy. She, of course, she feels better. It's a little bit still a little hard for her right now. I'll say she's 80% carnivore, and then she'll have some fruits. And we've been trying to come up with some, you know, carnivore treats. So I love Emma's channel and like Courtney Luna's channel, just to find some, because she'll do like keto treats. But we're trying to get her to do more carnivore, because if she eats a certain thing, like, her stomach will hurt. So, but she's pretty much meat-based right now, and just a little fruit here and there. She has a lot of energy. They're homeschooled, and I literally don't have to tell them to do their work. And what they're doing is a lot. The curriculum that they have is a lot, but they're able to go on and do it on their own. I don't have to tell them. They don't nag. And it's just, and they're not eating all the time. Before, they would eat breakfast, and then they'll have snacks, and then lunch, and then snack. Like, they're snacking a lot. But now they literally eat, I'll say, twice a day, with maybe sometimes a snack in between. And sometimes after she eats her meat, she's good. She don't really eat any fruit after. She's like, oh, I'm good. So she'll eat fruits here and there, but she's most of the time after dinner, she's done. And so I'm not buying all those little snacks anymore. And if she wants to make a snack or something, she'll use like cottage cheese to make like a chip, you know. And so like she'll make little carnivore snacks if she wants any snack, and that's been really helping. But it's been kind of easy for her, and I'm amazed how much energy they have, and the fact that they're not eating all the time. Like I have a 8-year-old, she's 10 now, and then I have an 8-year-old boy, and that boy was eating so many times throughout the day, like it was ridiculous. And now they just have like eggs, bacon, sausage. They make their own breakfast. And that's another thing too. Now I don't have to make their breakfast. They make it on their own. I just have the eggs, sausage, and the bacon. And pretty much that's their breakfast. And they make it on their own, and then they're good. And then they may have cheese or a fruit for a snack, and then dinner. So it's literally like reduced the amount of times they're eating throughout the day, and they still have so much energy all the time. So that's been a difference that we've seen in their health.
That's great. So do you feel like your daughter's stomach issues and everything are just completely healed when she's eating this way?
Yeah, definitely. Because every time, sometimes we go to church activities or we go to a program and, they have all these junk food. And every time she would eat something like that, her stomach end up hurting. Like, it's just so we know exactly why her stomach is hurting and what is making her stomach hurt. Every time she eat, some type of plant or junk food, like her stomach would literally hurt. And then we're like, well, you know why? So, that's what has been happening now. So it's much, much better. Like no more stomach complaints. She's not, but like she was literally in pain. So now if anything happened, we know exactly what she eats. And it's easy to kind of know what she eats. I mean, it's pretty simple. We are eating pretty much chuck roast beef or just any type of beef with eggs most of the day, so I don't have to think too hard, like, oh, what did she eat? And then it's easy to find out what is causing her stomach pain if she does have any stomach pain.
With all of the doctor's appointments, you were kind of struggling to figure this out before you found the nutrition. Did any of the doctors ever mention changing her diet?
Oh no. No, we just eliminated just some of the common food allergens, but nothing about diet. I'll let her keep eating what she wants to eat. And then even the day that they did the endoscopy, they gave her a popsicle. Like she had to fast she had to fast an hour no, she had to fast the morning, and then right after the endoscopy, they're giving her popsicles. Like does that even make
Isn't
sense?
it like in the moment it's one thing, but afterwards, isn't it crazy? Like your daughter has stomach issues, food
Yeah.
goes into the stomach, and they're like, no, it's nothing to do with the food. Here's some medication we can give you. It's man, it just drives me nuts. Are you at all mad or angry? Like, I don't know. It's probably not intentional. A lot of the doctors, that's
No.
all they're taught is to give medicine. But and we're talking about the most precious thing in the world, your daughter, and she's suffering. And the only thing they're doing is, well, coincidentally, here's some medication that makes us a bunch of money, and they're not talking about anything else.
Yeah, I started to get angry a little bit because I was telling my husband this is not right, and then I was like, let me just look at this medication, let's do some research on it, see what it does. And some of them wasn't even, first of all, it wasn't even for kids, it wasn't even appropriate for kids. They just gave her a lower dose. Some of it wasn't even it didn't even help with stomach pain. It was just it helps with pain. And it was just like, what is this? Like, it doesn't even have anything to do with what she has. And so I was a little bit angry at them. I'm like, is this even safe? Like, how is this safe? And then the other thing that kind of ticked me off was they wanted to put her in therapy that kind of okay, like will help her to understand why she's taking the medication. And we were in Kansas at this time in Johnson City, and these appointments were like 2 hours away. So we had to be driving. And so if they had her put in therapy, then we would be driving like 2 hours to take her for the therapy section that is pretty much telling her that, oh, this is the reason why, and it's okay to be on medication because of this, because you're having these issues. And then she was going to be missing so many days of school. And so it was just, I was just like, this is not right. So after she did the carnivore, I told the doctor, so when are we going to just try the food and just stick with food and no medication? Like, I really had to advocate and fight for her. And I said, well, I changed her food. I didn't tell them that, I was doing carnivore because it's like, you're not allowed, you can't do that. So I just told them that, I changed her foods and I found the foods that she can eat that don't make her stomach hurt. So when can we take her off this medication just to try the food to see if that will work? And so I the first time they were like, oh, that's okay, you can do the food, let's just keep her on the medication for a little bit. And then after 2 weeks, I said, you know what, I think she's feeling better with the food, with changing her food, so can we get her off the medication? Like, oh okay, we'll get her off and do a trial for like 1 month, and then we'll call for a follow-up. And if it doesn't work, then we'll put her back on a different set of medication. And at this point, we had tried like they had like different steps. So if these three medications were not working, they would try the next sets. So we tried like two sets. So we're going on our third sets of medication because none of it was working. And so after I told them, you know, I just want to try sticking with the food, and they just took her off the medication, and that was it. But yeah, it can be a little bit upsetting with, you know, all this that they don't think about food, and, you know, meat is dangerous, and it's just like, what do they would rather have her eating all types of food and taking the medication than just eating meat and, you know, feeling better, which I don't get. I still to this day don't understand that, but I guess that's just what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so backwards and broken how the system is. We interviewed Dr. Chafee for our documentary, and I remember him saying at one time medication was supposed to be to heal people. And then they realized that, wait a minute, if you heal people, the money stops right there. But if they continue using that medication for years and years, that's just reoccurring revenue. It's like a subscription service that equals big dollars for a long time. And then it drives me nuts. I recently went back to the doctor, and it really hit me because the first thing when I went in, they're like, what's your pharmacy? And I was like, oh, I don't have a pharmacy anymore. I don't do any medication anymore. But that's the first thing, because they're like, "This, you're here for medication. We need to know your pharmacy. And then all we're going to talk about is medication." And it's so crazy to me because I don't know many people that go on medication and then they're like, now I'm healed. I'm good. Now I can get off of it. I was on acid reflux medication for 15 years. I was saying this to Jen the other day. I'm like, what was I thinking? Like on year 10, wasn't I like, I still have acid reflux. Why am I taking this? It's not helping.
Yeah. And it's so amazing like how it works. It's like, oh, you need varieties, like eat all this food. And for some reason, it's okay to be on medication for your lifetime. Like, it's okay. That is not a problem. Just eat whatever you want to eat and take this medication. That is the preferred method of healing. Which I'm just like, it's so backwards. Like you said, it just does not make any sense at all. So I just, like, being on carnivore has opened my eyes to so many things. Like, because I was thinking, I had to really prep my mind on, you know, future knee surgery, because a family member of mine has went through it and got double knee surgery. And so it's like, that was my future that I was looking at. And I literally had Miralax and ibuprofen on me all the time. Like, I can't travel without them. I can't, like, if I travel and I don't take it, the first thing I do is go to a Walgreens and grab me Miralax, because that's how bad it was. Like, this is like my daily medicine. I had to take it. And when I had my menstrual cycle, if I don't take that, like, if I don't take ibuprofen, it's just the worst. And so it's like, oh, it's normal. You know, my mom went through it. So I'm like expecting all these things, like for my future, just thinking about, oh, knee surgery. And then like my constipation was so bad. I had hemorrhoids. So I was thinking about hemorrhoid surgery. Like, it was just all this stuff. And then I'm like, oh, I'm having chest pain now. So I'm thinking about being on medication for that. So it was so many things in the back of my mind that I'm like, oh, once I hit 40, I'm going to be on this and that. And, you know, I was kind of prepping my mind for it. And so just being on carnivore, I was just like, wow, so it doesn't have to be this way. So I don't have to have knee surgery. I don't have to have, you know, future hemorrhoid surgery. Like, it just really freed me up. It freed my thoughts up from all this that I was literally thinking about, and just thinking about how life would be for my family. And so it just really opened my mind to so many different things. And now I really look at food differently. And it's not like, you know, I enjoy what I eat, but it's not like, oh, I'm just eating just to eat. Like, I'm not eating for fun. I'm eating to feed my body, to give my body the proper nutrition. And knowing that I can get all the vitamins in meat, I'm really literally like just eating. And I'm like, oh, I and you can feel it, you know, you can really feel it in your body. So and I have to say that when you go on, like, I'm usually just doing salt, but sometimes I would use a little seasoning. I can literally feel the effect of the season. Like, so a lot of, I enjoy your videos because sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe I'll just to get a different taste, I'll put some seasoning. And the minute I eat it, I'm like, oh, and then I watch your videos. I'm like, yeah, Carrie was right. Like, you can literally like feel the effect on, and it's not, I don't use much seasonings like onion powder, garlic powder. That's pretty much about it. And I can literally feel it in my stomach. So it's just really interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing. I remember when I started, I could feel like my body, like, yes, this is the food. Finally, you figured it out. You could feel that. But then also, like you said, because we're eating so few things, like before I was eating so much, if I would get sick or stomachache, I like, I don't know what that was. Like I ate a million things over the last week, but now you just have any little change and you can totally, totally feel it.
Yeah.
One of the things with the medication that drives me nuts is like IBS, for example, or these other things, it almost presents it to people like, Sandra, there's an issue with you. There's some flaw with you. Yeah. genetics, we don't know. There's some fluke, but there's something wrong with you. Yeah. And that's how they present it to people. And then it's like, and the only thing you can do about it, I guess, is this medication then, which doesn't work anyways. It's so, it's like victim blaming. I hate that. I hate that so much. I really think like IBS that your daughter had, IBS. Yeah. I feel like it's just not eating the right food, and they just call it IBS because I was diagnosed with IBS too. I've talked to so many other people. It's just not eating a proper human diet gives you. IBS. It's like you have a car and you're just putting water in the fuel tank, and then you're like, oh, the car's broken. No, you're just putting the wrong stuff in it.
Yeah, and you know they are so quick to put your medication. So I remember when I first started, after a month and a half, I had my doctor's appointment, did my labs, and of course the cholesterol panels were high. And right away my doctor is like, oh, I'm gonna put you on cholesterol like medication. I'm like, no, I really, I was just like, you know, I've changed my diet and I feel so much better. All my symptoms, you know, I was mentioning to her all this stuff that happened to me. Everything went away. And so I don't want the medication. And she was like, okay, you know, let's just give it, you know, a month and let's repeat. And so a month, it was a little bit lower, but it was still high. Like, you know what? I think we should prescribe. I'm like, no, like you really have to keep telling them. Like, no, I told you I changed my diet. So she's like, okay, let's just wait. Let's go for 3 more months and then, you know, do the test. And then at that time we had to move from Kansas. So I never went, but she was going to do a heart scan, which I was actually interested in doing just to see the difference. So she was going to do that for me, but it quite is unfortunate that we had to leave Kansas because my husband was in the Army and he went on medical retirement. So we had to leave before I got that test done. But yeah, she was just so quick to give me the medication. And it was just like, it was like she wasn't comfortable on the fact that like my cholesterol panels are high, but everything else was good. Right. All my numbers were in range. And she was so quick. And I was just like, no, I don't want it. I don't want it.
That's their default setting. Like they get a commission or I don't know what it is, but they're so cool. I was on statin, Sandra, for I think 12 years, which is crazy. God. In my 30s, I'm on these statins. Those things have horrible side effects. I think a lot of the brain fog I had was from the statins. But the thing that I've learned since doing this documentary too is I believe that I was deficient in cholesterol or fatty meat. It's so backwards. It's been demonized for so long. Our brains are made of fat. Our hormones need fat. When I started eating fat, my testosterone went up. My sleep improved, which is related to hormones. My immune system got stronger. I was lacking in all of those things. I love Dr. Ovadia. We filmed him for our documentary. And he gave me the best advice. Like the heart scan you're going to get, that's great. That is something that I would advocate for. The statin talk, I just had it again with my doctor. And they don't look at the quality of your cholesterol. Yep. And they can. And they should. And that's what Dr. Ovadia talks about. And so anyone listening to this, when you get the statin talk from your doctor, tell them I want an advanced lipid panel. Okay. And I want to look at the quality of the cholesterol. Do I have the big dense part, the fluffy particles, or the little dense particles? Because it matters which one. It's the number, the overall number doesn't matter as much as the quality of it. And that's all they look at. They'll look at the number and then you got to go on statin, got to go on statin. They don't look at the quality. It's like a kindergartner could understand the quality is probably kind of important, but they never look at those things. But the heart scan is a great one. I know Dr. Avedia recommends getting that one too. But the numbers are crazy. I'm sorry, I was going to say one last thing. The numbers are crazy too, by the way. I went in and got my cholesterol tested, and then they didn't do the advanced panel. So I went again like a week later, and on the basic panel, the numbers were just drastically different. And I'm literally eating the same thing the same times a day, and I was fasted. I only eat carnivore. So it was like beef, butter, bacon, eggs. So some of these numbers, people will go in after doing carnivore, and they'll completely flip out, and I'm like, if you went in again an hour later, I bet you those numbers would be drastically different. And the other thing is, when you first start carnivore, the numbers are way off because your body isn't in homeostasis. Like your body's doing major adjustments to go from burning carbs to fat. So I think a lot of people say, just don't even do that till you're like 6 months in and things have like stabilized a little bit.
Yeah. No, I remember trying to ask my doctor for the advanced testing and she didn't really know about it. Like if she was just like, oh, advanced test. Like I was just like, yes, we can look at the quality of it. And she was so clueless. Yeah. She was really clueless. So I don't know. I'm not saying, I'm not blaming them, but it's just they're not used to it. And it doesn't click, oh, let me check the quality. They just look at the cholesterol panel and it's like, that's it. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that's what it is.
The other thing I've learned too with cholesterol is there's been a lot of studies that the people that are dying of heart disease, they don't even have high cholesterol. It's like 50-50. Like, wouldn't they all? It's everything's like you start going down these rabbit holes and it's so backwards. And then once you hit a certain age, having higher cholesterol is actually protective. Like you live longer and your incidence of dementia and things like that are less. And then you just look at it from common sense. Okay, humans have been eating fatty meat since the start of time. It's like heart disease is still the number one killer, but not everyone's doing carnivore. All the people I know that who've lost to heart disease, none of them were doing carnivore. They were eating this Asian American diet, but everyone's so scared when they hear we're doing carnivore. Oh, you're going to have a heart attack. How many people do you know that are doing carnivore that have a heart attack? They're all doing the standard American diet. It's so backwards. Everything's so backwards.
Yeah. And, in the African community, it's like eating just meat. It's unheard of, first of all, and it's really weird to them. Me and my best friend and her family, they're doing it, and they had like a huge change. Even her daughter, my best friend's kids, they wear glasses and they've seen improvement. They had to kind of readjust their glasses, the prescription in their glasses, because there was such an improvement in that. So it affects your whole body, but people think it's crazy. And the African community is like, carnivore is unheard of, is crazy, because our food is heavily based on starch, a lot of starches like rice, tubers, yams, those food. And so you doing carnivore is kind of crazy to them and they don't understand it. But I'm really pushing, getting the message of carnivore out there, that you don't have to take the medication and you can feel better on carnivore. And you actually don't know how good you feel until you get on it. And so I think that is one of the other things. Like, I didn't even know I had anxiety. And like my brain, everything was just like clear, brain fog. I didn't know I had it. I didn't know I had anxiety. And going on carnivore, I'm just like, wow, everything is just gone. So it's really interesting.
That's amazing. That's really cool that you've got friends and their kids are doing it also. Do you, this is a question we're going to get. I have a lot of, because my daughter Emma's doing carnivore, as you mentioned earlier, my girls are all doing it. I get a lot of questions. I want my kids to eat a proper human diet too. Do you have any advice? Like a lot of people have teenagers too, which is really hard. But do you have any advice for helping switch your kids over to eating more of a proper human diet?
Yeah, I think just starting out with like keto-ish recipes, because I mean, now if you want pizza, you can make really good carnivore pizza. So just going that route, because just taking all the food away from your kids, they're not going to like it. They're not going to understand. So I think just going the route of substituting the ingredients to more carnivore ingredients or keto ingredients at least, and then go from there into the carnivore. And like my kids, my daughter, she doesn't mind eating the meat, but it's like sometimes she'll want a treat afterwards. And so just going that route, and then first eliminating, you know, the grains, seed oils, those are like the big two things that I feel like doing, and then lowering your carbs. The carbs, those are, you know, three things that you can do easily. And then after that, just making carnivore recipes of whatever food they like. And I think that will really help. And then as they do that, they will even stop eating that. They used to, like my kids used to eat a lot more fruits, but now they'll just eat it, you know, just a little bit, just because they want a fruit to eat. But like it gets better. So I'm looking forward to them going like full carnivore. But it's just making those treats and substituting this food that they like into like the carnivore food. And I mean, now with all the YouTube channels, it's so much easier to get recipes. So I think that's the route to go about it. And I mean, so many kids are, I want to say they're sick, but you know, not, they're not presenting to be sick, but I had a few kids come to my house, and you know, we make our own like protein shakes. I put butter, cottage cheese, and blend it up and freeze it into like the little popsicles, and maybe add some strawberries. And so it's not that sweet, but my kids would eat it. And then they came, and then I gave them some, and it was like, oh no, it's not sweet enough. Like, so it's just the taste in their mouth. They're used to the processed food taste. So if you're giving them something healthy, they don't think it's good. You know, right. They need the sugar, the junk. So a lot of kids, I would say a lot of kids are sick, but, you know, it's like, oh, kids are okay. They're kids. So that's another thing that drives me crazy. It's like, kids are okay to have junk food. You know, the grownups would be like, oh, we're old, so we shouldn't eat sugar, but kids are okay. Yeah. You know, to have all the chips, the cereals, that it's so bad.
It's so bad. And there's an epidemic of leaky or of fatty liver disease going on. Yes. And kids are, there's literally children at unprecedented rates walking around with fatty livers. It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. I love your advice. I mean, animal based is great. So, I mean, if your kids are eating better than 99% of kids out there.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, like you said, baby steps. If you're going to do, just do one thing, at least if you're going to do one thing to start, get them off of the breakfast cereal. Make them bacon and eggs for breakfast, or cottage cheese, or strawberries, even like you said, but get them off of that horrible cereal. That was one of the worst things I see. It's literally pure sugar with food dyes and seed oil. It's a concoction of everything they should be eating. And then people are like, oh, their kids are fine. We could just poison them a little bit. And not even the fatty liver disease, the depression, the mental health issues.
Yeah.
And then it leads to type 2 diabetes in their teenage years.
Suicides are, you know, so I worked at a hospital, and one patient I had, like I worked mostly adults, and then later worked in the NICU. I couldn't work peds because it was just so sad. But one young lady we had, just 16 year old, and she had fatty liver disease. And like at that time, this was about maybe 8 years ago. And at that time, it never made sense to me, because fatty liver disease, from what I learned at school, is like alcoholics. And I'm like, she's not an alcoholic. And she's very smart, very bright. And she's spending her time in the ICU on medications, just trying to deal with this fatty liver disease. And her prognosis was not good at all. And I was so sad by that. I was really, really sad by that. I'm like, why should a 16-year-old go through this? But now you see even kids with type 2 diabetes sharing their stories on YouTube, and you know what a day in the life of a teenager with type 2 diabetes, and what they have to do, you know, when they are in school, they have to take their medication. And now there are so many videos out there with kids, you know, with type 2 diabetes. And I'm like, it doesn't have to be that way. It was never that way. So it's really sad, and I'm very passionate about it. And so I'm going to school, taking some courses to be able to help people, especially the young people, with their nutrition and with their health. Right now I'm in Guam, and it's incredible how many kids are sick. Like the people here, almost one out of every, I'll say maybe three out of every adults is obese. And even maybe two out of every five kids are obese. One time I took my daughter to the hospital, and this boy, he didn't look older than 10, was really he was really obese and had the walking stick coming in. And I said, this kid is not more than 10 years old. How is this possible that he's so obese that he can't walk? He needs one of the walking sticks to walk in. And I'm like, this is so sad. Like, why should it be like this? And it's all because of the food. It's really all because of the food. But that is not what our first, that is not what we think about. We think, oh, kids are okay eating all the foods. And it's just really sad. And their teeth, oh man, the kids, it's horrible. I mean, these little kids, their teeth are coming out. They're turning black, like not even brown, like black. And yet they're still eating junk food. And so...
It's crazy.
It's
the teeth, the fatty liver, the non-alcoholic fatty liver. I interviewed Dr. Nelson. He's been a family medicine doctor for 40 years. And I said, what sort of trends have you seen over 40 years? And he listed the normal things, like we're talking about type 2 diabetes on the rise. But he said one that doesn't get talked about a lot is fatty liver disease, like we were just saying, and happening in children. And it presents almost the same way as if you were an alcoholic, like skin turning yellow, eyes turning yellow. Yep. Jen and I lost a really close friend of ours last year to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And so many kids are walking around with it too. They may not know it, but so much of our health is in our liver, and they're damaging their liver and not even knowing it. I just, all of that aside, the teeth, the obesity, the type 2 diabetes, the depression, they're just, I see kids, and I have a feeling your kids are like this too. Dr. Barry's children, other carnivores I've interviewed that have carnivore children, and they're like, my kids are just full of energy.
Yep.
And like you said, they're full of joy, and they're just thriving and living. And they're like my girls in particular, one thing I noticed with them, used to be so much arguing and drama. They're teenagers, it's gonna happen, but they're zen, they're just like chill now. And I started thinking about this more, I'm like, that's how all kids would be if they were eating a proper human diet. But you have kids with ADHD and depression. You have young kids too, and they get the blame sometimes. Like, oh, this kid's got ADHD. He's bouncing off the walls. And meanwhile, you're filling him with sugar. The kid's not sleeping at night. And then you blame the kid. It's just, it's so backwards. Do you look at the world differently now that you've found this health for yourself and your children?
Oh yeah, I really do. And I see that everything starts even from the womb. I'm glad, I bless God that now all the science are coming out there, and it's easy to even find some on YouTube to even watch and get educated. Because we don't think of it. We just, I'm pregnant, I'm craving this food, and I'm craving candy, let me eat it. I'm craving this, let me eat it. And what are you feeding the child? You know, this is like the precious moment. And I wish I knew this when, you know, I was pregnant with my kids. I didn't have major bad cravings, but I wasn't eating the healthiest and stuff, because we are told to just, whatever you want to eat, whatever you're craving, just eat it. And now I see, like, no, we should be giving even the kids in the womb a proper diet. And then when they come out and they're growing, after they're off breast milk, give them a proper diet. Like I've always like, you know, we're told vegetables. So I was always, you know, blending vegetables to give to my, when they got off breast milk, and they didn't like it, but it was like, you know, that's what was the best thing. But I always was trying to be very cautious of what I give my kids when they're babies. But my last born, she's the one that have benefited most. She don't really eat grain. She don't eat grains at all because she's been eating carnivore. But when she was like up to maybe 6 months, I was giving her, you know, the mashed vegetables and the stuff, and she would throw up sometimes, and I didn't understand. But now I really mash some sardines or, you know, salmon, or blend some meat, some red meat, and then just give it to her, add some fat to it and give it to her. And she is growing stronger, and then like just seeing her and comparing to my other kids at her at their age, she's 3 now, but she is so strong. And I'm just like, this is so incredible how, you know, it makes a difference as they're growing up. It makes a huge difference in their life. So yeah, now I see things so differently now, and just like, wow, the food does, it's like the major thing for, you know, from infancy all the way to your growing up, the food is huge. So that's what I
yeah see. I'm so happy for you and your daughter and your kids growing up eating this way. I often think about, man, what if I would have been eating this way from birth? Where would I be right now? It's crazy how so backwards everything is. It's all like crystal clear now too. Once you get out of that fog, like it's just the food. Like, of course, why wouldn't it be the food? I was thinking when you were talking about babies, I've got to find this. There was a YouTube video. I think it was maybe on Paul Saladino's channel, or maybe it was a documentary he did, but it was, they looked at the placenta of someone on a vegan diet versus carnivore diet. And it was shocking. It was shocking.
Wow.
The carnivore diet, it was healthy and it was like nice colors. And I'm not knocking vegan, because vegan's better than the standard American diet.
Yeah.
Sure, way better. But it was crazy. The one on the vegan diet, it was just shriveled up and it was like sickly looking. And then it's just, it's crazy. From birth on, it's sad. You see some babies that are born with issues. And I've had people comment on my channel before, well, how could that be possible? And I've heard Dr. Kiltz and others talk about this. It's in utero, like the baby's getting the nutrients or the lack of nutrients that the mother's giving it. If the mother's eating stuff that's inflaming their body and making the mother sick, the baby could inherit some of those things or be born with some of those things, making the baby sick. So,
yeah, I mean, imagine the kids now with autism now. The number is up. I mean, when I was little, autism was like that one kid, you know, in the class that had it. But now it's like, you know, 10 out of 20 kids, you know, like it's so high. And I mean, the food has a major part to do with that, but we are not looking at that aspect, you know. I have a 6-year-old who was diagnosed with speech delay, and she was going to therapy. And when I found out about low carb and keto and carnivore, I was just like, let me just give her that, you know, carnivore. She was more, I was doing maybe ketovore for her. And her speech therapist, like 2 weeks after I was giving that to her, she goes, what are you giving her? She improved so much. Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, she's just like, you can't say carnivore or ketovore. Like, oh, I'm just doing low carb for her. I just said, and she's like, whatever you're doing, just do. She just did an amazing job today. Like, just keep doing it. And I just saw her progress. Like, she's come a long way, but I just, her giving her more of the red meat, I saw her progress improve so much. And I know Dr. Shafee talked about carnitine in red meat. That helps the brain. So it's all connected, but, you know, nobody's talking about this, you know.
Right.
So,
well, yeah. I'm happy you're talking about it. Can you talk a little bit about your YouTube channel and what motivated you to get the word out?
Yeah, so I created this small YouTube channel that I'm still trying to grow it. I've been doing a lot of moving, so I haven't been posting as much as I should. But I wanted to find healing with nutrition, and I knew, like I've always knew, there was something with nutrition that we're not getting right. So I started when I did keto, and it, I felt better. So I was trying to put it up there because I come from a background of a lot of starch. Like in every meal, it's a starch. Even our snack, everything is starchy. And so finding out about keto and now carnivore, I'm like, oh my God, we don't have to stay sick. You can do this. But I talked to some people, and they even just try like low carb, and they feel so much better. This one lady that I spoke with, she said every time she ate, she had tingling in her feet, and she was very uncomfortable. And I said, hey, just cut back on the rice, cut back on the starch. And just doing that for a week, she said, oh, she doesn't feel that tingling anymore. It's not even carnivore, it's just cutting back, just doing low carb. And so I'm just trying to get that whole, keto, carnivore out there. Especially to African, the Pacific Islanders, because people are really, really sick, and it just saddened my heart when I go to the grocery store. People are limping, they're in the wheelchairs, and it doesn't have to be that way. So I just started my channel, just trying to educate, and I'm trying to get more doctors. I think I had Elizabeth Bright on there before, but I want to get more doctors because a lot of my community, they respect doctors' opinion more than me. But I try to explain the science behind, what the body, what happens to the body with what you eat. And so that I'm just trying to get the science out there. And so that is what I'm trying to promote, the science of it, and this really works, and that it's okay, it's safe to just eat meat, because we've been told that meat is so bad for us all these years. And for my community, the whole idea of just even incorporating meat, protein and fat is unheard of. It's really new. And so I'm really trying to promote it out there for them and say, hey, you don't have to stay sick, or you don't have to stay on the medication. There's a possibility you can live healthy without being on the medication. And so that is what I am trying to do on my channel,
I
to
love
share
it.
the information.
I'm so glad that you shared your story. I'm glad you're doing your YouTube channel too, because I think it's going to inspire a lot of people. I encourage everyone watching my channel, go subscribe to Sandra. I'll have a link in the description below. And open invite. I really enjoyed talking to you. Good job, Mom. Good job finding healing for your daughter. That's a beautiful thing that you were able to do that and then test it out on yourself and then find healing for her and now your whole family, and now you're sharing it with the world. It's incredible what you're doing. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Carrie. And I want to say this, that one thing that saddens me is the education aspect. So many people that I know may not be well educated, and so they'll follow whatever their doctors are saying. And I just want to encourage people, take the step. And you don't, I'm not saying don't listen to your doctor, not that, but I'm just put your own health into your hands,
Yeah.
because that's the only thing, that's the best thing that you can do for yourself and your family. And just get off this junk food. There's nothing helpful about it. So I just want to say thank you, and thank you for your videos. It's really, you don't understand how motivating they are to, for me at least, and my family. So I really appreciate your channel. I really appreciate your videos and everything that you're doing. And we're gonna heal humanity again. And hopefully this message can get to Africa someday.
Yes.
And I'm waiting. I'm anxiously waiting for the documentary. So thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all your nice words. I really appreciate it. And open invite. We got to do another video. Maybe we'll do a live stream
Yes.
sometime together. You have an open invite
Oh,
anytime.
thank you. Thank
Yeah.
you so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate
Thank you. Have a good day.
it. You too. Bye.